Lord, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your intervention in each one of our lives. Lord, you intervened. Father, you put in place a plan to rescue each one of us. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy in Jesus' name. Lord, help us. Lord, help me to communicate this message. Lord, help us to hear, to see, to receive. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Have you ever heard the expression, hidden in plain sight? I don't recall when I first heard it. My guess, it was maybe some TV drama, a story about someone in a witness protection program, and instead of finding a hiding place that would be hard to find, they protected the person by relocating the individual, changing the name and maybe appearance, and then hiding them out in the open, so to speak. The definition for hidden in plain sight, that which seems hidden, but actually is not hidden and is easy to find. I don't think you've heard the next expression because I think I made it up. It's a bit of a twist on the first, but how about being lost in plain sight? Now, that sounds a bit like a contradiction. We usually think of something being lost, therefore hidden. I can't see it. I can't find it. So how can it be lost in plain sight? In a spiritual sense, the lost are those who don't know Jesus. We have two camps. We have the lost and we have the found. Can a person be right here in our midst, right in the context of close relationships, right in our family, right in our marriage, and be lost? Can that person be one of us? Someone who may believe, attend, participate? Have you ever been lost? Ended up in the wrong place or ever wondered about life and asked, how did I get here? Isaiah 53:6 says this, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him being Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The prophet was alluding to things within each one of us that pulls us away from what is true, what is right. To illustrate this, I want to tell you about something that happened to me. It was about 10 years ago that I realized that I was in some kind of trouble. That I had lost my way. Part of the problem was I actually thought I was okay. If we use all the standard measures, I was okay. I had a good marriage. Connie is a wonderful wife, partner, and friend. I had a good family with wonderful sons, an acquisition of a daughter-in-law, and now some grandsons. I had a great job, and I was part of a great church. I had been active in church, and I had weathered some significant storms in my life, spiritual storms, and what I will call workplace or occupational storms. And I had experienced the goodness, the love and the grace of God. I had good friends, also good brothers and sisters in Christ who cared about me. Friends that I could count on if I was in trouble. So how was I aware that there was trouble? Well, I was warned in a dream. I started having terrible dreams, nightmares over a number of weeks and months. I don't have vivid dreams. Instead, my dreams, I would describe them as kind of muted, in a fog, black and white. But somehow, I came away with such a distressed feeling in my gut that I knew something was seriously wrong and that I was in trouble. We can all shake off a bad dream. Maybe it was food, something I ate. Maybe my life is, or my mind is occupied with things, or something is stressing me out. But there was something about these dreams that were different. I can't explain how, but somehow it was like God was trying to tell me something. What was that something? I would learn that I was off track. Now, this morning, for those of you who can't see, I've kind of used some painter's tape to mark out a space, which I will kind of describe as, here we are, in. This is the way. The revelation was that I was off track. Over here, here's my little X on the platform. Jesus instructs us in Matthew 7:13 and 14 this. Jesus instructs us to enter into the narrow gate. Why? Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's interesting, we're living in a time where there's lots of messages in our culture and even messages that have infiltrated the church that says we have all kinds of choices, we have lots of options as we march toward heaven. But that's not true. We are told by Jesus to choose the narrow path. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. This isn't kind of up to debate or vote or, I'm sure we were. Okay. So instead of being on this path, these dreams, these nightmares would say that I was somewhere out here. In my spirit, I was troubled by this growing revelation. Is this what you're saying, Lord? It was no little matter, nothing that I could easily just shrug off. How was I going to deal with this warning from the Spirit of God? Night after night, I tossed, I turned, I would get up and go to the living room, just to open my Bible and read. That only made things worse. I didn't inadvertently turn. I think I was led by the Holy Spirit to every passage that would warn or challenge believers about our lives and about the choices we're making and about being in the wrong place. The message was growing and getting clearer and clearer. David, you're not in. You're out. I was distressed and in turmoil. I just wanted this to be a bad dream. I just wanted to wake up and realize that this was all just a terrible dream. But it wasn't. And every morning I woke up with a terrible sense of dread. You and I can end up off track. We can end up in the wrong place. We can end up lost. How does a person know? Well, sometimes it is, or it should be obvious that we're in the wrong place. Because it is sin in our life that we are in the wrong place, or sin that we are habitually choosing, or because we're experiencing the consequences of sin. Sometimes it's less obvious. It's not a blatant sin. Maybe it's the fruit of the flesh that is much more present or prevalent, and the fruit of God's Spirit is just, well, it's not there. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. We convince ourselves that everything is okay. We attempt to widen the borders of the path. Maybe I'll just make it bigger to include where I'm at. We make all kinds of excuses. We blame someone or something. Or maybe we just minimize or deny or pretend that this is somehow an acceptable place. Sometimes we end up in a place because we're the victim of somebody else's choices or actions. We're caught off guard. We simply react to the harm that is being done to us. Sometimes life has delivered to us that unanticipated event. Maybe like a crashing economy. Maybe a job loss. A death of a loved one. In my confusion, the Holy Spirit put an exclamation mark on what is written to John, what is written by John to the Christians, to the church in Laodicea. It is recorded in Revelation 3:17. It says, "You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But I say unto you, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." It's true. I thought I was okay. I thought things were fine. But I just couldn't shake it. So I prayed. I prayed that God would allow me to see. I desperately needed to see what he saw. I also prayed for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without finding fault." Now, I was encouraged by that because I interpreted that to mean that if I had been an idiot previously with the wisdom he had granted, he wouldn't hold that against me. And sometimes God does give us wisdom and we don't use it the way he wants us to use it, but he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. In my desperation, I prayed for God's help. God would answer that prayer in bits and pieces. And like a puzzle, it would slowly begin to make sense. You see, I was lost. I was in a place where I was relying on decisions that were made a long time ago. I was thinking that somehow what I had or what I achieved was good enough. I would also recognize that I could be a bit resistant and stubborn. I would learn that it was over there, in that place, that I could receive the benefit and the provision of my Lord. In this place, there was eye salve to heal my blindness. There was robes to cover my nakedness. And there was refined gold for the asking. But all of that provision was found in him. Who I was and what I had achieved was nothing but filthy rags. Looking back, I realized that acceptance was a huge challenge. Lots of things get in the way of us accepting things. The expression is about accepting that there is a problem, that that's half the battle. And it was true for me. When I came to my senses, like the prodigal son, I desired to seek out my father. And there was a road to travel to come home. Pride was part of the problem. Often we reject the idea of pride because we see it as an over-the-top display, something pompous, something arrogant. Oh, you know, I'm not proud like that. Yet, but most of the time, pride is much more insidious and subtle. Pride reveals itself when we don't want to admit that we are wrong, when we don't want to admit there's a problem, that we can't fix things, or that I don't need help. I have a saying that has become a bit of a favorite. It's this. You're not smart enough to get out of trouble. You're only smart enough to get into trouble. I first heard this expression from one of my staff at the Northern Addiction Center. He was talking about a conversation that he was having with someone else, but I totally embraced that saying that day to be true about me. Because it was true about me. It's actually true about all of us. I don't care how smart you are, how much education you have, or how much experience you have. Despite all kinds of things, we can be foolish. We can choose the wrong thing and end up in the wrong place. That's why Jesus came. Because we couldn't figure this out on our own. We desperately need God to intervene and rescue us. I remember at one point in my ordeal, I remember saying something out loud in my despair. I said, "Lord, how in the world did I end up here?" It was kind of a desperate statement. It was a rhetorical question. I didn't expect an answer. But into my head came this. "David, you ended up exactly where you were going." Really? See, the problem is a problem of destination, but it is also a problem of trajectory. So if there's a starting place somewhere back there, and we're on this road to go there, if we end up in a wrong, we often don't shoot or aim at the wrong place. But if you go back far enough, depending on what we set as the target, it's really easy to end up over time off track. It's easy to end up lost. I would realize that I had actually, the Lord's word that day was not, it was not a fluke that I ended up in the wrong place. I was actually headed in that direction for some time. Trajectories are interesting. We aim, we fire, and eventually we land. But where did I land? Sometimes we're not clear about where we're going until we get there. We say one thing, but our choices say something else. Is there a contradiction at times between what we say compared to what we do? Sometimes in church circles, we can be really good at having the right answer, but sometimes not so good at walking that answer out. We call it hypocrisy. I have been a hypocrite. I have the capacity to be a hypocrite. As Christians, we don't just one day arrive. Our pursuit of God is ongoing and it is wonderful. We can be proactive in that pursuit and head in a direction that is in accordance to the call of the Spirit, that is confirmed by God's word, or we can end up somewhere else, not quite where we intended. In all of this, God has a rescue package. His rescue package is able to engage us wherever we are in this mess. He's calling you and me to himself. No matter the storm, the trial, the tribulation, or the fact that you find yourself lost in plain sight, he is calling. He is seeking to rescue you and I. You and I have to come to our senses, and sometimes it takes a pretty big stick to get our attention. Part of that rescue package for me was the disciples' prayer in Matthew 5. It was during this season in my life that the Lord impressed upon me the disciples' prayer. It was one of those puzzle pieces that turned out to be vital. Over these last 10 years, I have embraced that prayer. I've marveled at the richness of each phrase. And recently I realized something new. That prayer is all about trajectory. Remember how I said the problem is not only that we end up in the wrong place, but that we've been heading towards that place? So let me explain about the Lord's Prayer. There are 8 elements in the prayer that enable us to get on track and to stay on track. The first is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And it's very much about the relationship that we have with him. Being on track and in his will is all about that relationship. It's a very personal and intimate relationship because it's our Father. The second part is our lives and our choices are very much about honoring his name. It narrows this. It's honoring his name. It's about his kingdom. Wanting his kingdom to come. wanting to be, to see his kingdom principles played out in the choices we make and in the reactions we have. It's about his will. Scripture says, not everyone who stands before him and says, Lord, Lord, there'll be some who do some incredible things in his name, but they didn't do the will of the Father. So we can do all kinds of things in his, but again, it's about his will. It's knowing him and having and an intimacy that says, Lord, what is your will? It's very much about his provision. The prayer says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. As I've pondered that part, it's like there's so many aspects to our being. And we want to love God with all of our being, our mind, our soul, our strength. And Lord, I want you to nurture each part of that. Because in the world, there's all kinds of things that promise something, but they're false promises. We can pursue something through a drug, through an experience, through a relationship, and find that we fall short. And so, Lord, I want you to nurture, be my provision. Father, forgive. And not just forgive me, but Lord, may I be so much. I want your DNA. I want to be quick to forgive like you forgive. That sets us apart. We forgive. And Lord, lead me. And I know myself, Lord, lead me away from that stuff that'll get me in trouble. Lead me away from temptation. And Lord, deliver me from evil. And as I pondered this prayer, I realized this is a trajectory. This is, so where are we going? It's funny, the disciples marveled at how Jesus prayed, how he talked to his Father. Jesus taught us to pray in a certain way. And it was very much about enter in, get on track, stay focused. This is no longer an external prayer that is imposed. It's not a meaningless fixed prayer. A fixed prayer is something written down, fixed, that I just recite on, where I recite something written on special days. As I have ruminated and savored each element, it has become my prayer. It is more and more my heart cry for my Father, my desire to honor his name, to do his will, to express his kingdom, to seek his provision, his grace to forgive. Deliver me, rescue me from temptation and evil. As we ponder and embrace this prayer, we can come to appreciate more and more how this prayer corrects our way. Why this message? Maybe it's a bit of a reflection over this past year. I think about family. I think about you. I'm so grateful for a God who rescues people. We often think that when there is trouble, that something wrong is in a bad sense. Let me say that again. We often think that when there is trouble, that there is something wrong in a bad sense. I've come to appreciate how something hard, even terrible, can lead us to something better. How something hard, even terrible, can lead us to something better. We have a hope and a peace and a promise. Romans 8:28 says that our Lord causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Well, when I think of the elements of the Lord's Prayer, they outline his purpose. his purpose in a relationship, in seeking his kingdom, his will, his provision, in seeking for God to lead and direct us and to enable us to forgive. So if we're loving him and called according to his purpose, he causes all things to work together for good. He is a redeemer. He redeems us. And he even redeems our experiences so that we have a purpose in the midst of trial, tribulation, and storms. Whatever difficulty you're experiencing, whatever difficulty you're in, as you place yourself because of your love for him, as you commit to his purposes, he causes all things to work together for good. That is part of that redeeming quality of our Lord. Over the years, I would hear people, so I worked many years, almost 20 in the alcohol and drug addiction business. I was at the Northern Addiction Center here in Grand Prairie. And over the years, I would hear people in recovery from an alcohol or drug addiction come to a point where they would say something quite bizarre. They would genuinely be thankful because the bad had introduced them to something that was true and good. They came to understand many things that contributed to their addictive behavior and also came to know those things that were critical to their recovery. They recognized there was a process of surrendering themselves to truth, a coming to know that something greater, something outside of themselves and their self-reliance was absolutely necessary. There was a process, an accountability, and a belief that a higher power, that God was rescuing them. This coming spring, 2016, it'll be 6 years since I retired from my job at the Addiction Center. Within a month, I came to work here. Since being in this position, I've seen people ending up in some very difficult and desperate places. Yet I am amazed and encouraged when I see people digging into their faith and finding grace and truth and the reality that Jesus, despite doubts, questions, fears, and confusion, they find the reality of Jesus in the midst of their storm. We have seen and we have experienced many rescues in this time. And yet I am also concerned and at times distressed when I see people not coming or correcting their course. But in their confusion and their pain, they pull away and distance themselves, seeking or choosing some other way. We don't always get this right. My own story is a testament to that. I didn't get it right. But God is engaging us in a process to deliver us from the things that get in the way. In each one of us, in the soil of our ground, in the soil of our lives, there are seeds, there are ideas and beliefs that can sabotage our lives. They eventually will become evident. In that mess, we can find forgiveness, healing, and change. I believe more and more that the trial and the tribulation that we face are opportunities. They reveal things, all kinds of things, things that are useful for us to know, things that we can take to our Lord Jesus in prayer. I want to be a witness to God's goodness and his grace. I want to tell you how he rescued me from my own foolishness. If we neglect his word, his truth, we will reap the consequences of that neglect. I did. But the Lord of the harvest was gracious because he allows you and I to see the fruit and the crop of our choices. And there's a knowledge that if we want a different crop, a different outcome, we have to sow something different. In conclusion, it's critical that we make course corrections. It's critical that those course corrections happen in a frequent and timely manner. In whatever trial or tribulation or difficulty you are facing, you do not want to end up in the wrong place. The Lord has given us a tool in this prayer. As we dig in and make it our own, he will, by his grace, enable you and I to be on track and to stay on track. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may our words, our choices, and our lives bring honor to your name. Lord, we want your kingdom principles to come and to be evident in our lives. Lord, we want to do your will. Father, we seek your provision in all aspects of our life to nurture our minds, our souls, our spirits, our physical beings, Lord, our emotions. Lord, we want to do a good job of forgiving others because, Father, we so much value and appreciate being forgiven. And Lord, we want to stay out of trouble. Lord, lead us away from temptations. Lord, deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver us from deception. Deliver us from the snare of the evil one. Lord, I know that in this process we'll make mistakes. We are totally able to mess up. But Lord, I am thankful that you forgive us in our weak, and in our weakness, you make us strong. Lord, we seek your strength and to grace to do what we cannot consistently do in our own strength. Lord, we want to know what is true, what is real. Lord, you already know because nothing is hidden from you. Lord, you know what things can and will harm us, what things will sabotage our lives. Help us to see, to hear, to repent, and to change. Amen.